morning. The sound is alive. I love it. It's so good to be here. Thank you for showing up this morning with your bright smiley faces. I can see all your smiley faces. I know they're all smiling. You know I'm smiling. And my name is Sky Nelson Isaacs. As was mentioned, I'm a physicist, so I'm going to bring in some science to today's talk. And I know that people love to see the science behind some of the things we study in Unity. The topic of today is wholeness, which is really the essence of Unity teaching, right? So, synchronicity and flow, starting from wholeness in the new year. Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Awesome. So let me ask you a question. This is the question that got me started. What is in common between the Big Bang Theory, you know, the explosion of all the particles in the vacuum into coming to existence about 14 and a half billion years ago? I wasn't there, but I've been told that's when it happened. What's in common between that and the Book of Genesis story of creation in the Old Testament or the Torah, where you have the creation of the firmament from the void by an all-powerful God or goddess? What is this? What is it in similar between those stories? The bang. Nothingness. Everything coming from nothingness. Yeah, it's the same, it's a different answer to the same question, right? The question is, how do we get something from nothing? How do we get something from nothing? How do I shrink down small enough to become nothing? And what's interesting about this question is that, you know, science and religion seem to be juxtaposed and actually battling with each other since the days of Galileo 400 years ago. But they're really answering the same question. And I wonder if that's the right question or the best question we can ask. Because maybe the way to get underneath that dilemma or that conflict between these two aspects of ourselves, right? These are different aspects of ourselves. We all have aspects of spirituality in us. We all have aspects of rationality in us. So science and religion represent different parts of us. And I wonder if we can ask a different question that can be answered in a more unified way. Because when we ask this question, how do we get something from nothing? We're essentially assuming what? That there was nothing. It's like, do I assume that if I get up in the morning and I don't plan my day, that I'm not going to do anything? Like, I'm just going to sit around unless I actually fill out every moment of the day? Where's the room for meditation, spaciousness, conversations, walks in nature? Where's the room if I have to fill up every moment? Because I start with an empty vacuum. Or if I think about the world as not having anything in it unless I do something, then how am I going to get money for my rent or to run my life? I have to go to work all the time. I have to fill up my schedule with money-making activities. I have to have the latest device in my pocket to make sure I'm up and coming with the people I work with and my friends, right? So it's like this competitive sense of having to fill in the space, because we assume at the bottom of everything there's this emptiness. Let's take a deep breath. So I want to invite you to ask a different question. How do we create something from everything? How do we create something from everything? Because we live in a garden, don't we? You get up in the morning and you have things all around you. You don't wake up in a vacuum. Unless you just vacuumed the night before and you left it by your bed. Because you wake up with the house that has some food in it. You've got a phone to call people if you want to. You've got people you can see. You might have work that you need to do. You have a lot of choices every day. And what happens in a garden is we don't plant seeds all the time. A gardener is not always going around planting new plants. Most of the time, what do they do? Watering. And what?
Nurturing,
weeding, cultivating. pruning, cutting back what you don't want, or parts of the things you do want so that more of what you do want can grow. So a gardener's job is to choose, right? Not to fill up the space, but to choose. And that's what I think our divine option is when we start from wholeness. When we start from wholeness, we are assuming everything is going to grow. If I don't get up in the morning, it's still going to keep growing. The garden keeps happening, right? So it's a different task when we approach it from wholeness. So I want to invite you to see synchronicities as coming from that whole. And before I give you an example of synchronicity, I want to talk about this other physics metaphor that you'll be familiar with. How many of you love rainbows? That's why I included them in my book, rainbows. I don't know anybody who doesn't like rainbows. So a rainbow is light coming from behind you, like the sun, shining over your head, hitting the clouds or the rain, bouncing off, coming back to your eyes. And when it bounces off, it refracts. So every little raindrop has an index of refraction, and the light goes into it, through the front surface, bounces off the back, and comes out the front again. A trillion times, because there's a trillion raindrops, right? Every time that happens, the light that comes out of it is spread. The red light bends more, I think, than the blue light. And so the red light gets bent farther and the blue light gets bent less. They come to your eyes separated. So when you see red light in the rainbow, what are you seeing? He looked at the answers to the test. You're seeing white light minus blue, all the other colors, minus blue, minus orange, minus yellow, minus green. So the red light is white light minus these other things. You've revealed the red by removing the other colors. The red was always there in the white. And you just removed what was blocking it from being noticed and perceived. And when you look at the blue light, you're seeing the white light minus the red and the green and the orange. You see where I'm going with this? So what can we remove in our lives to reveal solutions? What kinds of mindsets are stopping us from seeing solutions that are already there? I see some nodding heads. I'm glad. Because when we start from nothingness, we feel like we have to add solutions to everything. Solve this, solve that. When we start from wholeness, the solutions are there. Our job is to allow them, to find out how we can step out of the way. And what are the things that get in the way? Well, in unity, one of the things I love about unity is its affirmative nature. We state everything in a positive, right? Well, in math, you know that minus one times minus one is positive one, right? So I'm going to give you a double negative today, and I'm going to claim this goes under the unity umbrella, okay? Because it's still positive and it's still a positive number, but I'm going to ask you to think about what it means to say not no in your life. To say not no. Because I find for myself that I don't always have the space of mind to say yes to something. I'm not always ready to just say yes to life. I don't know whether the opportunity in front of me is a good opportunity yet. So I don't think it's wise to just say yes. But sometimes I need to say not no long enough to find out. See? So it's a spaciousness. It allows spaciousness to see what happens. Let me give you an example of this. I was busy. How many of you were busy last fall? I was busy last fall, and I was doing social media and trying to stay on top of promoting the things I was doing and doing some research and some writing and teaching classes and trying to stay really focused. And I tend to not complete things sometimes. So I was trying to, anybody else not complete things sometimes? So I was like, my mantra was, I'm going to finish what I started. And then I got a text message on my phone, which I tried not to even look at because I was trying not to be distracted. And it was my brother. And he says, do you want to come to band rehearsal on Wednesday for my band? Now, there's a part of me, I wasn't even that aware of it consciously, but inside, what do you think my reaction was? Whee! That sounds amazing. I haven't ever been in a band with my brother. I mean, we played in high school together, but he's been a drummer since we were kids, and I've been a piano player. We've never actually had our own band. So thinking like I could be in his band was super exciting. And I haven't played in a band in a while. I play a lot of solo piano, and I love it. And thanks to this band, these great musicians that come together, give them a hand. It's really, really my joy to come and be supported by you guys. So thank you, you all. And so, but my reaction was actually the logical, responsible person in me that said, you know, this isn't on my radar. It's not on my agenda. It's not the number one thing I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm not looking to make my money in a band, so there's no place for this right now. So I told him no, I couldn't come to rehearsal. So I said no. I didn't say not no. And I checked in with him a week later and asked, how was rehearsal? Do you know what he said? We missed you. He said, we canceled rehearsal. Because we didn't have a keyboard player. And in that moment, I knew that I had to be part of that band. Why? Because God wanted me to be. How do I know that? Because they needed me. Because it wasn't just about me. And I wanted to, like I realized it would be really fun. I was really torn about it. But then to realize that somebody else needed me there for it to even happen made me realize that it was about something much bigger than me. And by withholding my gift, by saying no, even when it didn't quite make sense with my plans, that I was actually blocking someone else from experiencing their joy, it made it really clear to me that this was a path that I wanted to follow. Does that make sense? Would you have done the same thing? So I wrote back and I said, I'll come next week or next month or whatever it was. And I've been going ever since. And it's really great. I look back and I'm like, of course I'm doing this. Why would I not have joined this band? It's so much fun. It's like I'm getting to be with people. I'm in my element. There's an aspect of the story that I didn't tell yet, which is rewinding a little bit. Why is this so important to our story? Well, and for the past couple years, I've been really wrestling with my voice. I've had some breathing challenges, like not serious challenges, but I haven't been able to like breathe deeply because I've been holding on to anxiety and tension. And I even started a class called Claim Your Voice because I wanted to have access to my voice. And I remember some relationships when I was a kid that really made it hard for me to feel like I could be safe expressing myself. And so I'm bringing up a lot of that stuff to try and breathe more deeply. And I was actively doing this kind of work, trying to make progress, refining my voice. And playing in a band got me into my body because I was in my zone. I was playing piano, in my body and doing blues stuff. So I was in my body again, and how was I to know that a text message from my brother on a random day in October was going to bring me the answer I needed from this other part of my life where I was wrestling with my voice? So that's the question that starting from wholeness can start to answer for us. When we allow wholeness to be the source, we don't have to know where the solution is going to come from. It's already there. And when we open up to more flow, to saying yes or saying not no, at least, to the text message that we get randomly from a friend, it might be reminding us of something we love. It might be reminding us of some intention we have for ourselves. I didn't know that I wanted to be in a band. And it wasn't until the opportunity came up and I got out of the way a little bit that I realized how much that fit into my goals that I already had. Can you think of something in your life right now that you have an intention for or a goal for, and you don't know where the solution is going to come from, but you're looking around you? Just pause for a minute and think about what that might be for you. Synchronicities are opportunities that show up in life. And when we can say not no, we can open to them, we can get into flow with life in ways that we can't predict, that we don't know in advance. What is it that stops us from taking those opportunities? Our mind, yeah. Our mind. I call it our filters. So I want to talk to you this morning about the science of filters. How do we filter out the reality so that we perceive what we perceive, and how do we change that if we want to? Oh, there it is. Magic. Our mindset is a map which affects the whole territory. So as was said over here, our minds filter out information. It's our minds, it's our hearts, it's our body. They all serve as filters that determine what we perceive in the world around us, whether we think the band opportunity is a good idea or a bad idea. So what we have on the left is the territory. That's you, that's your world, that's the world you're perceiving, the city. On the right is this mathematical representation of it. How many of you have heard that the universe is made of waves? Well, that's what this is. It's called a Fourier transform. Any engineers in the audience? Some folks know what a Fourier transform is. It's really the most profound mathematical thing I think that there is. I love it. It's guided my work for the past 20 years. It's so beautiful. What it is just, if I fed the map into a computer, it would print out the picture on the left. And this is what happens whenever you take a photo on your phone. It converts it into the frequencies, that's what's on the right, the waves, and it can filter them. Have you ever been on Zoom and had a blurry background? Okay, that's a filter. It converts it into the frequency domain, I just said that, into the frequencies, and then it applies a filter and it highlights the background and blurs it. Let me show you how it does that. If I put a mask or a filter around the outside of the map, what do you see happen to the territory? A little hard to see. It gets fuzzy. I'll do it even more. There's a much tighter filter. That's like the background of your Zoom, right? Because it's applying what's called a low-pass filter. It's blocking out all the high frequencies. High frequencies have... Am I losing battery on my mic? Okay, good. High frequencies have to do with detail. And when we block out all the high frequencies, we lose the detail. The places where the picture changes really fast from bright to dark, those are the edges of the buildings. So we lose that information. Do any of you look at the world without paying attention to the details? That's me, all the time. I'm a physicist, so I'm looking at the big picture. What's the similarity between the Big Bang and Book of Genesis, right? I'm not looking at the details. I'm not looking at all the calculations. I'm just looking at the main concepts. So I really do look. I block out the high profile details, and I just look at the blurry picture. Some of you might be different than that. You might be a high pass filter, which highlights the edges. Do any of you look at the world and notice what's different about things or what's changed or maybe what's wrong? Which car is new in the neighborhood? It's great. Which license plate is different? So you're looking for the differences. Your brain is actually wired to do this. If you're in the jungle and you're looking in the bushes and something moves, you're likely to notice it, right? Because your brain is doing this. It's highlighting the edges. And it can do that with a simple high-pass filter by converting to the frequency representation, blocking out the inner part and keeping the outer part. So I wanted to show this to you because it's a beautiful example of wholeness. The changes we make to the map affect the entire picture. You see that? You can automatically find every edge by just focusing on this one part of the filter. And in the same way, when we change something in our mindset, when we start from wholeness and we look at what can we remove to reveal a solution, sometimes what we can remove is just ways in which we're saying no to life. And that might look like defensiveness, might look like self-criticism, might look like tiredness, it might look like a lot of different things. And what we're suggesting today is just saying not no, to try on a different filter, or to just notice the filter that you're using so that you have a chance to see what it feels like to change it or look through a different filter. It's not easy to change these things, but I do find that by noticing what I'm doing already allows me to then notice what I could do differently. So let me share with you a tool to allow you to notice these moments. Let's take another deep breath. In and out. So what was the synchronicity that I shared with you already? My brother texting me. Yeah. It was a synchronicity because it, why? It helped fulfill a need for me to find my voice. It provided a pathway for me to do that. And if I hadn't noticed it, I would have just passed on that opportunity and not gotten the benefit. So how do we get into a mindset where we are free of our filters enough to be able to notice those moments and use them? So that when I get my text from my brother, I don't say no. Even if it doesn't align perfectly with my idea of where I'm at in life, I find a way to open up, to be receptive, to say not no. So the first step is to listen. And you don't have to worry about all the text in the middle. Just read the big words. Listen. Listening to life. This is not necessarily with your ears. It could be just with your eyes. It could be with your just noticing what opportunities have come your way. So listening to life. If I hadn't have noticed that my brother had texted, you know, how many of you get a text message from somebody and 20 minutes later you've forgotten it came, right? So part of listening is going back and reviewing some of the things that have happened and then listening to those and having an open mind. So often we approach life through a filter that's already there, and an open mind is just saying not no. I'm not going to close down to this possibility. I'm not going to refuse the opportunity outright. I'm going to wait and see. So listen to the opportunity, remain open, and then spend some time reflecting. And this is where we start to connect the dots. Steve Jobs famously said, you can't connect the dots looking forward, but when you look back, it all sort of makes sense. You can see the path you followed and how everything fit together in just the right way. What I'm trying to do in my research is show that we can start to connect the dots looking forward. Not with our minds, as was said over here earlier. Our minds can get in the way of that connection. But when we look with our minds, our hearts, and our bodies all in sync with each other, then we begin to see the flow of how things are unfolding. We can't predict it perfectly, but we can begin to be ready for what's coming. And so I was ready to say yes to my brother after the following week. Because my mind, my heart, and my body got into synchronization and were able to recognize that this is the direction it was going. Because I realized that when they didn't have rehearsal, because I wasn't there, all these pieces I reflected, they all started to come together, and I saw where I was being pushed or pulled or invited. And then I knew what to do to connect the dots. I reflected, I released my attachment to getting all this other stuff done, I released my attachment to being really important in this other way, and I opened to some other possibilities of other ways that I was important. And then I was able to act. So at this point, I acted and I joined the band. And that was in flow. And it was in flow because I listened, I opened, I reflected, and I released before I knew exactly what to do. Do you see how this might help you make choices that are more in flow in your life? Does that sit for anybody pretty well? The idea is that you begin to notice the synchronicities even when they're a car breaking down, or something going wrong in your finances, or something happening at work that you don't like, somebody getting in your way at work. You know, these are all opportunities for flow. If we can listen to the opportunity, open our minds to what else it could be showing us, reflect on how to connect the dots, how does it line up with other goals I might already have? How does it show me my intentions that I wasn't aware of? I want to become a more patient person. So when someone at work, you know, gets in my way of accomplishing something, maybe it's an invitation to become more patient. And I can see that and connect the dots and become the person I really want to be in that moment, rather than reactionary. Releasing the attachment to how we thought things were going to go. John Lennon famously said, "Life is what happens to you when you're making other plans." So that releasing is important, and then acting. And acting is important because we have to initiate action in the world in order to get something back. That's one of the principles of unity. But it comes after these four receptive steps. And then don't give up. We're always on the precipice of some new piece of information, some new opportunity. And so just always be ready to jump back into listening. Invite more chance opportunities. You with me so far? Wonderful. So a synchronicity is an unusual circumstance whose meaning becomes clear in the future. So that text message I got from my brother was not clear right away, but it became clearer a little bit later. And so I want to give you this model before we close of a tree. And if any of you Marvel fans, Marvel Cinematic Universe, so you know about the multiverse. Yes. There's three different Spider-Mans. Yes. Played by three different actors. At least three.
There's more
than that, I'm sure. Yet to be found. So those are the branches of the multiverse. And the multiverse is a real idea that's been verified to some extent in physics. It's that we live on a tree of possibilities. And I wouldn't say all of what I'm saying here has been verified, but the basic idea is very much consistent with everything we know to be true. My suggestion is that on this tree, there are apples that are representing your intentions. They could be conscious intentions. They could be unconscious. I wasn't consciously trying to be part of a band, but I was trying to heal my voice. And those are the apples. And the way that it happens, we can't predict. But because of the weight of those apples, it draws us to those branches through synchronicity. So the text message to join my brother's band is one way to get to the apples. You follow that? So what in your life is showing up for you that's unexpected that is a way to get to your apples? That's the question that I invite you to ask today. What is showing up in your life that's unexpected that is actually a way to get to your apples? And how can you open to that and be receptive to that? So we live on this tree of possibilities. And before we go to our final affirmation, our double negative affirmation, I want to just tell you the conclusion of this story with my brother. So it got me started on a path of playing more music, which I'm very happy to say today is really different for me than it was 6 months ago. So the following week, I got an invitation, again by text, from my cousin. My cousin writes to me and he says, "Do you want to come play piano for our Halloween party? Our piano player canceled." What do you think I said?
Yes.
Not no. I did not say no. I did not say yes either. I said I would be there, which is a way of saying yes, but I was very nervous because although I've got the skills, I know a lot of songs, I also feel nervous in front of people I don't know, playing piano, entertaining the whole room for the whole night. I thought these people would be wanting some dance music, and I was going to be playing like show tunes. So I just wasn't sure. But not being sure is okay. I didn't have to say yes. I said I would be there. I said not no. So I get there, and I'm walking up to the door, and there's a whole bunch of people in costumes that I don't know. And I'm very intimidated. And I want to say no again. I want to turn around and go home. What do you think I did? I went straight to the bathroom. And I almost called my wife and said, I'm not sure what to do. I think I might come home. And then I thought to myself, if I drive home, halfway home, I know what'll happen. I'll think I should have stayed. And I'll be torn, and I'll have that experience of like arguing with myself. And I knew I didn't want that. So I took a deep breath, and I committed to saying, not no. I'm going to walk out the door and head towards the piano. So I walked out of the bathroom door and headed towards the piano, and I bumped into someone that I knew, my friend Gene from high school, from elementary school. Does not know my cousin. I have no idea how he was there. Total synchronicity. Unusual circumstance. That is not clear until later. But he's there with his bandmate, Colin, who I also know. And they're in a band, so they know what it's like to do what I'm about to do. So suddenly I'm filled with this like sense that I'm part of the group. Have you ever been in a situation where just knowing one person helps you like settle in and relax? Yeah, that's what it was like for me. And so I walked over to the piano, started playing. Pretty soon someone else came and sat down next to me and started singing. And that was the beginning of an avalanche of like more and more comfort level. Some confidence came back. My voice came back. And I knew that I was in the right place, doing the right thing. So I learned how to say not no. And that was enough to get me where I wanted to go. You don't always have to say yes right away. But to peel back that filter, to see the ways that you're blocking the wholeness, what can you remove to reveal a solution that's already ready for you. So take one more deep breath with me. And we're going to say this affirmation together. I'll read it once for you, and then we'll say it twice together. My heart is open to say not no today. Ready? My heart is open to say not no today. One more time. My heart is open to say not no today. Thank you so much.